Hello and welcome to Plants and Things. My name is Katie and I am a hobbyist gardener. We talk about all things plants, specifically vegetable, fruit, and flower gardening, and occasionally foraging. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If you've been with me since the beginning, thank you for sticking by me. Last week, we talked a bit about beginner tips to gardening, and today we will continue that trend of talking about beginner topics in gardening by talking about composting for beginners. This will be a little bit more involved because there's a lot that I want to cover in today's episode. So if you're new to composting is a process of breaking down organic materials into a nutrient-rich soil amendment that you can use to fertilize your garden. And it's so amazing. And if you're new and you start composting, you'll notice a big difference in how your garden does. And some people use that as a replacement for chemical fertilizers. So it's a really great organic way to fertilize your garden. So the organic materials that can be composted include things like fruit and vegetable scraps, grass clippings, coffee grounds, even if you drink coffee, or even tea if you drink tea. You can also do eggshells, but I probably wouldn't do the whole egg because that would get really stinky. So eggshells, I would recommend rinsing those out too. But composting works with nature by creating an environment that encourages the growth of beneficial bacteria and fungi that work to break down the organic matter into a stable form that can be used as a fertilizer for your plants or a soil amendment. So in order to create this environment, composting requires the right balance of carbon-rich materials, which in a lot of places is referred to as browns. And I see some people use like dried leaves, straw, sawdust, even cardboard. And then nitrogen-rich materials, often referred to as greens. And that can be grass clippings, food scraps, and even manure. But you would want to keep the manure separate from like food scraps and stuff. You wouldn't necessarily want to mix that together because they'll take different times to decompose. Sometimes I feel like food scraps will decompose quicker than manure will, or be ready to compost quicker. Water and oxygen are also central to the composting process as well. So something to keep in mind whenever you are deciding the location of your compost pile or where you're going to be composting is, can you have a water source close by to either, douse it down with a water hose or something like that. But you will also want to keep an eye on it, especially depending on like what you are composting. So it's good to have it in a place where you can see it and make sure that, if anything goes wrong, like sometimes, it's a chemical process, so it gets really hot. So sometimes composting piles can spontaneously combust. It's happened. I've seen somebody post on Reddit about it. I've never had it happen to me. But that's why it's so important to make sure that you can see it and turn it and things like that. That shouldn't happen if you do the steps correctly, but it is something that can happen, and I want you to be aware of that if you are thinking about composting. So there are many different methods for composting, and I will go into more detail in a minute about that, but each method, it's really about finding what works well for you. And, as a gardener, I can say like what works well for me will not work well for somebody else, especially depending on an environment. So if you live in a very dry environment and it takes forever for things to break down, you may want to use a compost tumbler or a compost bin or something like that. I prefer like a pile of compost. However, I have caught many animals enjoying my compost piles. I have a groundhog that will eat like my vegetable scraps, like carrots and things like that. So I might actually end up getting a compost bin because it's hard for me to make compost whenever I have an animal that keeps eating all of it, which I love sharing with them, but I also want to make compost for my garden so I don't have to buy it from the store. So it's like, I don't know, it's a difficult decision to make, but I think I might end up doing that. But that's just something to keep in mind whenever you are deciding which way to compost. So a couple of different methods are like traditional backyard composting. I think that is the most common method. Really, that's just a big pile of organic materials that you pile together and then mix together and water down to break down into the compost. So you'll really just like designate an area in your yard for that. And like I said before, it'll be somewhere that you can keep an eye on it, where you can, you know, reach it with the water hose or like your water source. And then also be in a good position to where you can like turn it. And also something that I would like to note sometimes, and it's not ideal to have that like close to your house because it may smell a little bit at first. Because, you know, whenever something's composting, there are gases that are released and things like that. But especially if you are doing like animal manure composting, I would not recommend having that somewhere that like you're going to be outside, like on the porch or something. Like you don't want it right next to your porch in your house because that would be unpleasant. But that is like the most common one. That's the one that I do. And then there's another one where it's like you do composting with worms. Which I think is really cool and something that I really want to try, but I'm like kind of scared of because I don't want anything to happen to the little worms. But it's referred to as vermicomposting. I think I'm saying that correctly. I've only read it. I haven't heard anybody say it before. But it uses worms to break down organic material into compost. So a lot of times people will have worms in... I've seen people use like a bucket. I've seen people use one of those tubs that you can get at Walmart that are like a couple of gallons or something like that. But it can be done indoors or outdoors in a worm bin. So it's a great option for somebody that has limited outdoor space. And it also produces compost more quickly than traditional composting, which is interesting to me to find that out because I didn't realize that until I started doing some reading into this topic. But yeah, that it's really interesting that it can be done quicker. The thing that I've seen that I would struggle with is like, how would you separate the worms from the compost? And I've seen people use like layers or they will like have like a divider and then they'll put food in one section and then in the other section they'll have the worm castings and then they'll just like leave it for a couple of days and then all of the worms will migrate over to where the food is, so then they can just like take the compost out of that side, which is a pretty interesting concept and pretty cool. If I do try vermicomposting, I will definitely have to try doing that. And if anybody's ever done that before, please let me know because I'm very interested in trying it. I am just the teensiest bit scared of like hurting the worms though. And I know that that's like probably just paranoia talking, but that's just something that I've been worried about. But another thing that's really cool, and I see this on social media all the time, it's the compost tumblers. So basically you just put like the things that you want to compost in there, like grass clippings, the food scraps, things like that. You put it in the tumbler and then it like aerates it by whenever you're turning it. So it's pretty cool. I've never used one before, but I've seen some other people on social media use it and have really good luck with it. So, you know, if you've used that before, please let me know so that I can share what you've learned does work well with that and what doesn't, because that would be really awesome to know. Because I've only got experience doing like the piles, the traditional backyard composting, which, yeah, it's the most common. So another thing that people do is the compost bins, which are just like containers where they have their compost pile in, and they do that to prevent pests from getting in, aka groundhogs. that's the pest that I deal with. I mean, they're not really a pest, they're really cute, but at the same time they eat all of like the food scraps that I put in my compost, so then, you know, I don't have compost when they do that. Something else that I've seen people do that I'm very hesitant about is composting toilets. It's a specialized form of composting that uses human waste as the input material. The waste is mixed with carbon-rich materials such as like sawdust, peat moss, things like that that break down over time into a safe, nutrient-rich fertilizer that can be used in gardens. And I, you know what, if you do this, tell me how this works, because I've seen like people use it on campers and it was so intriguing. And then, you know, you see some things like that on like TV shows where it's definitely very like interesting seeing that. And it's something, I don't know if I want to try that or not. I'm kind of scared of that because I don't want to get sick if I do it wrong. Which I'm sure, like, if somebody's experienced and they do it, please let me know. I want to learn more about it. And then I wanted to talk a little bit more about, step-by-step on like how you can start your own compost pile. Now I'm only going to talk about the one that I'm like most experienced with, but hopefully I'll hear back from some people on like their experiences with the different composting methods. And once I learn how to do them, I will be happy to share them with you. But since I'm not super comfortable with them, I will talk about the one that I do. So I do the traditional like backyard composting pile. So what you'll want to do is you'll want to choose where you're going to have your compost pile. So find a spot that's shaded and easily accessible, and preferably close to a water source, like I was talking about before, because you will want to keep it wet, not like soaked, but like, you know, moist. And then you're going to want to collect your materials, and you can use things like kitchen scraps, yard waste, leaves, and by yard waste I mean like grass clippings. Please don't be like me and waste most of the valuable resources that you have in your yard, like the grass. I have such a large yard, it is very difficult to gather all of the grass that we have, so don't be like me. Utilize your resources. And then you can also use things like I was talking about before, like eggshells, coffee grounds, or tea bags if you use those things. You'll want to avoid animal products like meat, dairy, and fats like that, because they can create a very bad, like, unpleasant odor. They'll attract flies. It won't be fun. So I recommend avoiding that. And then next you'll want to prepare your site. So clear the ground of any debris and add a layer of twigs or straw at the bottom. I mean, you don't really have to do that if you don't want to, but it does help with drainage and aeration if you do that, like adding a layer of twigs or straw at the bottom, because you'll want to make sure that your compost pile is getting air into it. Next, you'll begin by layering the materials. And this is something that I don't really do, but I'm supposed to. So I just pile everything together without even like layering it the way that I'm supposed to. But it's recommended that you add a layer of browns, which is what we were talking about before. The dried leaves, straw. I've seen people use cardboard too. You can use cardboard if you would like to. I don't, because there's usually like tape and like ink and stuff on that, so I don't use cardboard if it has that stuff on it. And then you'll add a layer of greens, like the grass clippings, your kitchen scraps, things like that. And then you'll continue layering until you've got all of your materials on the pile. So next, you'll want to add some water to go ahead and kickstart that composting process. And then I do recommend turning your composting pile like every couple of weeks. You can use a pitchfork or a shovel. And that helps to aerate the pile and speed up the decomposition process. And then you'll want to monitor it and keep an eye on it, and make sure that it stays moist, and that you don't have any like weird smells, weird textures, any like signs of pests, aka groundhogs. I'm going to keep saying that because like that's the struggle for me is the groundhogs. I love them, but they love my compost piles too much. So, yeah, so you can also, like, add more as you go. I don't think a lot of people do that, but I'll just put it in the same spot, and, you know, it'll compost after a couple of months. So, then you can harvest it after several months. You'll just have to keep an eye on it, and then, I mean, when it's ready, you'll be able to tell because it'll be dark and crumbly. It'll have a pleasant, earthy smell. You can also... So I did want to go into composting animal waste, too, because that's something that I've done before, is using, like, cow manure, goat manure, or even chicken manure. So the compost pile, you'll want to keep it away from water sources, which is different than what you do with the like plant-based composting pile. So composting pile with plants, you want to keep that like close to a water source so you can use water on it. But for the animal compost, like you wouldn't want it near like a stream or like a pond or your whale water, for example. It should also be located away from vegetable gardens or areas where you're going to be growing food, if you're going to be doing that, which I know sounds strange because you're doing a compost pile for your garden, and to keep it away from your garden is a bit strange. I get that, but it's really just for food safety. Composting animal waste can be a bit more challenging than plant-based materials. But if you do it correctly and safely, with the right techniques, then it should be okay. But yeah, I totally get it if it seems a little bit scary at first or intimidating, but if you do it right, you should be okay. So you'll want to use a separate, bin since you want to keep it away from your water sources, you want to keep it away from food and things like that. So it should be composted separately. I mean, yes, you will also need to do like the carbon-rich materials mixed in with the animal waste, because it's high in nitrogen and it'll help keep it balanced. So for this part, I got a little bit ahead of myself. Sorry. So you'll want to start with picking out your space that you'll do that to prevent contamination of your food and your water sources, and also your other composts. Next, you're going to want to collect animal waste wherever, like if you have animals, then you can just collect it from them. But if you're going to go somewhere, then you'll have to collect it from there, and then bring it back to the place that you're going to be composting it. Next, you're going to go ahead and start doing the layering and the mixing of the animal waste with your carbon-rich material, like straw, leaves. I think a lot of people do straw just because sometimes, like, especially with, like, cow manure, it's, or even chickens and goats, it's already going to be mixed with hay because likely their bedding is hay. So it just seems like the natural choice. That's what I use. That's what I did, was just hay. And then you'll want to layer that, mix it up. I've seen or heard of people saying you should aim for like 3 parts carbon to 1 part nitrogen. So 1 part animal waste to 3 parts of your straw or whatever you choose to use for the carbon material. And then next, you'll want to keep it moist, but not saturated with water. So that will help speed up the composting process. And it'll also help, hopefully, fingers crossed, keep the unpleasant odors at bay. So then you're going to want to, just like with the plant-based compost, you'll want to turn that pile regularly to aerate and speed up the composting process. Again, you can use whatever you want to, like a pitchfork or a shovel. I do recommend monitoring the temperature on any compost pile, but like for animal waste as well, because it can get pretty hot. It can get up to like 140 degrees Fahrenheit. So, I mean, it needs to get that hot to kill any pathogens or weeds. So, fun fact, if you use goat manure, and I only know about goat manure because that's what I use. Goats will like always have worms. That's why you have to like deworm them so regularly. But there are some that humans can get as well. So it's important to make sure that it's composted correctly so you don't get anything like that. I definitely don't want anybody to get sick because of that. So just be careful about that. Then you'll want to wait for your compost to mature. You'll need to wait for several months to a year before it's ready to use in the garden. Make sure that it is finished and has reached a dark, crumbly consistency with no unpleasant odors before you use it. It's the main thing to keep in mind is to maintain a balance of your browns and greens or nitrogen and carbon-based materials balanced, and keep it moist and turn it regularly. So I wanted to give you a little bit of, you know, some tips to help you get started, and talk a little bit about mistakes to avoid when you're composting as well. But before I do that, I'm gonna take a drink of water, sorry. So if you are thinking about starting a compost pile, I recommend beginning with a smaller compost pile, just to kind of get a feel of it before you get a huge one, because it can get a little bit unmanageable if you start with a huge one. When I was in high school, I was part of the science club, and we had our own compost pile, and it was huge. It was so huge, and it was so difficult to manage as a high schooler. Especially as part of like a club. So I do recommend, if like you're just now starting out with composting, then start smaller. I wish that we had done that in high school. But I think that it was like our first one as like a group, so that's probably why we made that little tiny mistake. But it turned out well overall. And then you're going to want to use the right materials. So you want the right balance of carbon-rich and nitrogen-rich materials, for your compost pile. A good rule of thumb would be 3 parts brown to 1 part green. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, I do about 50-50, but I think a good rule of thumb would be like 3 parts to 1 part. So that's something else to keep in mind, because you definitely don't want to have like an unbalanced mix. And then I know that like if you have like too much green, it might get like a little bit slimy or something. So that's just something to keep in mind. So chop or shred the materials. Cutting or shredding materials into smaller pieces will help to speed up the composting process. It increases the surface area and exposes more of the material to bacteria and fungi. So something to think about, wood chips compost a lot quicker than a tree. I feel like that is a really good example, because I think wood chips will compost in like 6 months to a year-ish. And then a tree will take years to compost fully, like years. So yeah, chop or shred your materials to get that composted quicker. Keep the soil moist. So we've talked about this before, but composting requires moisture because you want to keep the bacteria and fungi alive and working to help break down all of that material that you have put in your pile. And then you'll also want to keep it aerated. So turning the pile every few weeks will help to aerate and distribute moisture. If you don't aerate, or if you don't turn the pile, that also increases the risk of it getting too hot in the center. But if you think about it, that pile, like that top part, is going to get dried out consistently, and that will then decompose slower, where like the center will probably decompose quicker because it's going to be staying moist. But then again, it won't have the air in it unless you like turn it too. So I do recommend turning it regularly. So a couple of things that I would recommend avoiding for your compost pile. Don't add meat, dairy, or fats, because like we were talking about before, it can attract pests and create an unpleasant odor, and that just wouldn't be very fun. So you also don't want to use too much of one material. An imbalance of carbon-rich or nitrogen-rich materials can slow down the composting process and result in a gross, smelly, slimy pile of not quite compost, but of materials, which I would not want to deal with that, because that would be such a bummer to have to deal with having a compost pile that's turned into a smelly, gross, slimy pile, like especially if it's close to your house. So I do recommend finding that balance of compost materials. And then I recommend not adding any non-compostable materials. So don't add plastic. That does not break down. And that would not be good for your garden. So it can't be composted. So I don't recommend using it. And then I also recommend not letting the pile dry out, because then it won't break down as quickly and or efficiently as a damp one. And then lastly, I recommend not neglecting your pile. Composting does require attention and effort. So it's not like a set it and forget it type of thing. You do need to check on it regularly and make adjustments as is needed for your compost pile. So if you're noticing like your brown material is breaking down, or it's not breaking down, and all of like your green material is broken down, so then you can add more green material, or vice versa. It's definitely a learning process, but I know that you can do it. I believe in you. You've got this. If you want to start composting, you've got this. There are so many resources out there. If you have any additional questions, or feel free to reach out, and I'll be happy to help you through the process of your first composting pile, if I do start any, like, the vermiculture like I was talking about with, like, worm castings, I'll... If I do start any worm castings or anything like that, I will let you know. Sorry about that. It cut off because I hit the 30-minute mark. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to chatting with you more about beginner topics in the next couple of weeks. If you enjoyed this podcast or know someone who can benefit from it, please follow and share this podcast. When you follow and share, it really helps me reach those who may enjoy my podcast, and I greatly appreciate it. I look forward to chatting with you next week. Happy planting. Bye.